The Journey of My Heart, passages from the Diary of a Pilgrim to Sri Ramanashramam, continued from the November-December 1997 issue. 18th of December 1982, Kunju Swami recounted how he was given the mission to accompany the Princess Prabhavati to Kerala following her marriage. She spent a month in the home of friends. Kunju Swami lived in a mutt. At the end of the planned time period, the princess wished to extend her stay. Kunju Swami decided to go on yatra to various holy places in Kerala. When news of Kunju Swami's intent reached Bhagavan, Bhagavan expressed annoyance that Kunju Swami had neglected to do the job for which he had been sent, that is, to look after the princess. Immediately on hearing this, Kunju Swami moved into the house where the princess was staying, and stayed as long as she wished. Thus, Bhagavan was always kind and considerate to women, Kunju Swami remarked. But we men received his reprimands. Kunju Swami said, "The person who goes round Arunachala barefoot is indeed blessed according to Hindu mythology. When the person goes to heaven, the bruises on his feet will be worshipped by all the deities of heaven. Moreover, when they bend over to touch the bruises with their heads, their crowns will bloody the pilgrim's feet even more. The pilgrim will then be doubly blessed. Therefore, you are not selfless for wishing to walk on Arunachala barefoot. On the contrary, you are selfish." Kunju Swami concluded laughingly. So saying, we took our seat on a flat rock, one of the few places before Gautama Ashram where Bhagavan would customarily stop when going by the inner path. Far from the road or any visible habitation, Kunju Swami remarked that on the hill, Bhagavan would tell them, "This is our kingdom. That is, the town is a kingdom." On the hill, the devotees could sing, dance, and act with complete freedom. In Bhagavan's presence, day and night, they enjoyed an extraordinary feeling of intoxication. He alone had to bring them back to the world from time to time. Once a devotee asked Kunju Swami jokingly, "What would you do if Lord Shiva appeared before you right now as a column of light and offered you heaven?" Kunju Swami replied without hesitation, "I would refuse it. The happiness of heaven could in no way equal the happiness of being in Bhagavan's proximity here on earth." He further said that on the day of Sri Bhagavan's Mahanirvana, the devotees' minds were filled with grief. Yet within a day, they discovered that when speaking of Bhagavan, they would feel the same infectious joy that they felt in his physical presence. Bhagavan, though no longer in the body, continues for them as before. Being with Kunju Swami on the hill and talking of Bhagavan, I felt I too am Bhagavan's direct disciple, enjoying the same happiness his presence imparted to his most intimate companions. Ganesan then commented that coming out on the hill and talking of Bhagavan, he finds that for him, the ashram and all its related concerns disappear. Moreover, the worries related to the body disappear. I said this was my experience too, for I had not even taken note of the fever I had developed in the afternoon. Among his devotees, Sri Bhagavan established the rule while going round the hill that once they reached Isanya Mutt, they must be quiet. Bhagavan was so particular never to create trouble or disturbance to anyone that he would have the devotees split up and take different routes back through the town. He himself would walk with a towel over his head to avoid notice. All would regroup behind the temple of the town. Bhagavan would make sure they were all there and they would return up the hill together to their kingdom. Bhagavan did not have a rigid ethical code. Kunjaswamy was very young when he first came to Bhagavan. At times, Kunjaswamy and a friend for fun would see how many times they could run from Skandashram to Virupaksha cave and back. Chinnaswamy would object, "This boy is so irresponsible. It is his duty to bring us food from the town. What if he falls and breaks a leg?" Bhagavan would tenderly say, "It is not he who is doing it. It is his age that is doing it." In speaking of a misdeed, the strongest word Bhagavan would use was mischief. Kunjaswamy described Bhagavan's state of mind as all-knowing, yet without an element of personal will. That is, he did not read minds, nor would he give any indication or display of this ability. It was simply his natural state. The thoughts and past deeds of all were immediately apparent to him. About this facet, Bhagavan once commented, "It is true, I know the innermost thoughts of you all, but if I brought them all to light, would any of you stay here?" Kunjaswamy narrated this with a laugh. Bhagavan's complete and total disregard for siddhis set him apart from virtually all other saints. Kunjaswamy noted, "It seems on one occasion, Bhagavan said he had experienced his body dissolving into the five elements, yet called it back. There has never been a saint so unique as Bhagavan, who remained so human, so simple, and so ordinary to all appearances." Kunjaswamy exclaimed in ecstasy, "And I don't think there could ever be another one like him again." Since our talk continued after sunset, we returned to the ashram by the road, and Ganesan filled me in on few details about our venerable friend. As a boy, Kunjaswamy was found to be very intelligent, possessing a prodigious memory. At one time, he wished to take up a study of Vedantic texts and told Bhagavan, "Not for myself, but for the sake of others." He had the gift of eloquence and could easily quote from any number of scriptures. Bhagavan, however, forbade him pursue this study. In subsequent years, when Bhagavan saw Kunjaswamy talking to devotees, he would now and then chide him by asking, "Are you doing it for yourself or for others?" Thus, Kunjaswamy came to understand that it was he himself who was helped when he spoke with others of Bhagavan's teaching and life. "Therefore, I must thank you for helping me remember Bhagavan," Ganesan concluded. Evelyn Casillo Safair continued in the March-April issue.